Civil rights movements might be converging. For decades, LGBTQ, feminism, and African-American rights movements have had little overlap. Author and activist Charlene Carruthers carries the message to Illinois Wesleyan University today at the annual MLK teach-in. GLT's Mary Cullen has more.
Your keynote is titled Gender Justice is Social Justice, an Unapologetic Perspective on Black Liberation. Probably not coincidentally, you recently published a book with a similar title. It's called Unapologetic, A Black, Queer, and Feminist Mandate for Radical Movements. Now, the book outlines ways to make the Black liberation movement more radical, queer, and feminist. Can you discuss your passion for bringing innovation to the Black liberation movement?
For sure. Thank you. First, thank you so much for having me on. We're living in some astonishing times. And so for me, to be able to come back to my alma mater and discuss some of the most pressing issues of today, while celebrating the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I believe is very timely, and I'm very honored to be able to do it. And so I believe that talking about these things in public, in open, having difficult conversations is essential to the work. And so how I understand even Dr. King's legacy is one that was a part of a broader movement to expand how people understood human rights, how people understood liberation. And towards the end of his life, he evolved substantially as a person and politically. And so to me, when I think about gender justice, social justice, and just overall collective liberation, the things are inextricably tied. If we're going to tell a story about what needs to be done, we need to tell as much of a complete story as possible.
Your book also discusses methods to make social justice movements more effective. What social justice movements do you think have succeeded in their effectiveness, and what would you like to see changed in others?
Well, I have to think about, there's so many places and times to draw inspiration from, and also places to draw deep reflection and lessons from. And I think what's most current for people is this current movement era, right? What's most relevant and present for folks. And what I believe has happened from the broader movement for Black Lives, movements for immigrant and migrant justice, and various movements for collective liberation here in the U.S. and abroad in the past even decade is that we've shifted the narrative of what it means to be free, what it means to be liberated, and saying that, no, we won't accept that some people get to be left out in the cold or some people get to be left off of the table for the sake of others. And that actually, if we're going to be serious about this business, our campaigns have to be reflective of the times, be it the campaign to secure clemency for Centoya Brown in Tennessee, the young Black woman who was charged and imprisoned after an act of self-defense from a person who purchased her against her will for acts that she didn't even want to perform, to shifting a narrative around policing in America and saying that we need to actually invest in our communities and divest from punitive practices that actually don't work for our people. And so I think that and then, of course, we can point to many electoral victories. I absolutely believe that the wave of young Black and brown women and indigenous women who have entered Congress absolutely have so much to do with the work that we've done in the past 5 to 6 years to build up momentum and popular consciousness around the need for a major shift in power.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mary Cullen speaking with Charlene Carruthers, a social justice activist and keynote speaker at Illinois Wesleyan University's Martin Luther King Jr. Teach-In. So Charlene, you're speaking at your alma mater during the university's annual MLK Teach-In. So what message are you trying to deliver to today's youth who are more and more recently becoming the foothold for these social justice movements that you speak of?
The biggest message for me is that there are a couple things. One is that we have to make a commitment to seeking out and telling the most complete stories we can possibly tell about the history of our people, the history of oppression, and the conditions that our people have lived in and continue to live within today. That's number one, because if we tell incomplete stories, we're going to have incomplete solutions. Number two is that we all have to actually do self-work on ourselves to interrogate and ask core questions, and I'll lay out the five questions that I talk about in Unapologetic during the talk, during the teaching. And then three is that we all like to agitate people around what that they actually have a role in doing this work, and that there must be a choice. Like, we must actually make a choice to engage in the work. It doesn't happen overnight, and it's a lifelong journey, and it continues even after we're no longer here. And so those are three of the big touchstones that I intend to make during the teaching. I'm not a super scripted speaker. I'll write my remarks, but something can happen this weekend in the news cycle that will require me to shift a little bit of what I say, or something may happen on campus that will require me to shift it. So I expect there to be some new things as well.
How does your message change when you're speaking to, say, members of the Black community or feminists or members of the LGBTQ community?
Well, the truth is that Black people are members of all those communities, right? LGBTQ people are a part of all those communities. So for me, it's about being really clear that actually Black people are queer. Black people can be feminist. Black people can be all of the things. There's not one identity that I can think of in the world that Black people don't also have access to or have an experience or inherit. There may be some very limited experiences, but Black people's experiences in this world, they're so expansive, so I don't really change my message.
You have a quote on your website that reads, "Yes, I am Black. Yes, I am lesbian. Yes, I am a queer. Yes, I am woman. And yes, my eyes are squarely centered on Black liberation." So you're at an intersection of social justice themes yourself. How do you keep your passion for social justice alive in today's political climate?
Well, I'm very clear that I exist in a legacy and a lineage of people who've done this work before me, and that I'm not the first and I won't be the last to do it. And so I see it as a part of my responsibility and what I've inherited in the world to be involved in this work. I don't wake up every single morning wanting to do it, but I do wake up every single morning super excited about facing injustices or discussing or talking about injustices. I don't. And I understand that it's a part of a longer purpose, a deeper purpose beyond me as an individual, and that it actually impacts me as an individual and it matters to me as an individual.
So you're still young and you have many years to continue on this journey of Black liberation. What are your personal hopes for the future of the world?
Oh, my hopes for the world are that we first are able to deal with conflict, harm, and violence outside of systems of state-sanctioned punishment. And what that really means is that we deal with conflict, harm, and violence without prisons or policing. My imagination stretches to us being in right relationship with the land that we live on, one that's not extractive, one that doesn't destroy the earth. I want to live in a world where people are able to live within their full dignity, where people are indeed able to have fulfilled lives, to have communities that they see themselves a part of, and where accountability is not just a buzzword, but it's something that's just a part of how we love each other and what justice actually looks like.
And then what are your hopes for yourself?
Oh, my hopes for myself are that I live my life in the way that I say I want to live it, and I treat people in the way that I say I want to treat, and the way that people want to be treated, and I'm treated the way that I want to be treated, and that I'm able to live within my full dignity to be happy and have joy and love in my own life.
Activist and author Charlene Carruthers speaking with GLT's Mary Cullen ahead of an ML King Day teach-in at Illinois Wesleyan University on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Let's listen to the Black National Anthem.
Ring, ring with the
faith that the
dark past has taught us.
Sing a song
full of the hope that the present has brought.
Has brought us.
Facing
the rising sun.
Let us march on
to victory.
His word.